Does sanctification lead to eternal life? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we jump into our discussion today, I'd like to tell you about my favorite part of the year, the National Conference of the Grace Evangelical Society. We hold our national conference on October 26th through the 29th this year. You can find out more about our upcoming conference and other events at faithalone.org. We hope to see you there at Capel Bible Fellowship in Capel, Texas. Let's jump right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. Did you know that we have a magazine by the same name? And we'd love to give you a free subscription to that magazine. Just write to us at radio@faithalone.org with your physical address, or go to our website, faithalone.org. And I think pretty much every page has a sign up where you can sign up for our blog, for our print magazine, and for other things. Well, we're taking your questions today, and here's one from Andrew. And I'm going to have to rephrase this into a question. It's more of a long paragraph, okay? So this is not exactly what he says, but this is basically his question. Does Romans 6:22 suggest that sanctification leads to eternal life?
Let's read that first, and then let's talk about what Andrew means by sanctification.
So it says, but now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life.
Okay, I would suggest, first of all, that yes, this is talking about potential progressive sanctification. By sanctification, I believe Andrew means progressive sanctification. Sometimes it's called present sanctification. That God, the Holy Spirit, is seeking to make us more and more like Christ. And if we cooperate, then we become more and more set apart from sin's influence in our life.
Well, what Paul says here, you become more holy. So,
and holy means set apart, and so sanctification means set apart.
Right, and by the way, a lot of people criticize the grace message or grace teachers like us by saying, oh, you give excuses for sin. Oh, this is just going to encourage people to keep on sinning because you think believers can't lose their eternal salvation. So what's going to stop them from getting drunk and living sinful lives? That is a total mischaracterization of our position because, one, we're not committed to an idea. We're committed to the Bible. And the Bible teaches salvation is by faith apart from works. But God also wants us to be holy. So
right.
We teach both things.
Right.
Maybe we should say that this verse occurs in the sanctification section of Romans.
Right. Paul here in Romans 6:22 and 23 is summarizing what he's been saying in Romans 6. In fact, even going back to Romans 5 and 6. What he's been saying is that before a person comes to faith in Christ, they're enslaved to sin. There's no way for the unbeliever to be set free from sin's bondage apart from coming to faith in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that all unbelievers are alcoholics or sex addicts, they're always robbing banks or they're murderers or whatever. What it does mean is they're enslaved to sin, and even if they look righteous, the truth is they're filled with iniquity.
Right.
And the reason is because they have not yet been set free.
Right.
But once we come to faith in Christ, we're no longer slaves of sin in our experience. Let's see, what verse is that?
Just 6:1 has always kind of struck me. Because Paul is just, in the last few chapters, he's just said repeatedly, we're justified by faith apart from works. But then what does that mean for living the Christian life? And he kind of asks a rhetorical question, right, in 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And so now that's his whole theme. Of course we shouldn't continue in sin, and he's about to explain why.
Right, and he picks that same question up in verse 15.
Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Paul says every single one of us is a slave to either one or two things.
We're slaves of righteousness or we're slaves of sin. We're slaves of God or we're slaves of unrighteousness.
Right.
And the issue is if you're a believer in your position, you've been set free. Notice verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. So in our position, we are no longer slaves of sin. But he does say in verse 12, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey its lust.
Right.
So it's possible that even though in our position we've been set free, in our experience we may or may not experience that. Notice verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness.
Right.
Well, that's what we are. We're slaves of righteousness.
Right.
But if we present our bodies to sin, we live like slaves of sin. The old sea captain illustration, are you familiar with that one?
No. What is it?
Okay, the sea captain illustration is there's a really bad captain on one of the old sailing ships, and he's relieved from command by the first officer because he's no longer competent to rule. And he announces to the entire crew that the captain is no longer captain. I'm now in charge. Rather than confining the captain to quarters, he says, I'm allowing the captain free access to the entire ship. But if he gives you an order, do not obey him, because he's no longer in charge. And so the old captain wanders around the ship giving orders to all the sailors. Well, if the sailors choose to follow the orders he gives, they're acting like they are his slaves.
Right.
But in reality, they're not.
Right.
In their position, they're now serving the new captain. And so we have a new captain. We're no longer slaves of sin. We're now slaves of God, slaves of righteousness. And we can choose to obey God or not. And so what verse 22 is saying is that if we choose to yield our members,
right,
that is our body, our parts of our eyes, our hands, our feet, our brains, if we're yielding ourselves to God, then the fruit is holiness. And the end is everlasting life. And what some people think, and that's what Andrew is lamenting, he's in a church where some of the leaders in the church are saying, you've got to live a holy life in order to gain everlasting life.
In order to be saved at all,
right,
I think,
right? Well, they would call this final salvation.
Right.
What Paul is talking about here is not the present possession of everlasting life, but the fullness of everlasting life.
The experience of it.
Right. And so what he's saying is, if you live a holy life, then you're experiencing everlasting life in the fullness that God wants. John 10:10b, I have come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly.
Right.
I'd encourage each of you to follow what Zane Hodges writes in his commentary on Romans, especially here. He's terrific in his discussion of Romans 6, 22 and 23. Verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That is, if we are on the path of sin, we're on the path of physical death, God's judgment, and ultimately premature death. But the gift of God is eternal life. God pays the wages to sin of death, but everlasting life is the gift of God. What Hodges argues here is that the fullness of life we can experience is in essence a gift because it springs from the free gift of everlasting life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the point of Romans 6, 22 and 23 is we can experience this life in the abundance that God wants us to experience it,
right,
but only if we yield ourselves to God and
right,
to righteousness.
But alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it begins with your mind recognizing what your position is.
I think Watchman Nee, didn't he write about this, that, and a number of others have, that there's a reckoning and then there's a yielding, right? So we need to think rightly, and then that thinking rightly needs to result in a yieldedness of our inner selves.
Right.
That we're yielding ourselves to God. One of the things I like to do is tell the Lord, I want to please you. That, to me, is the heart of yieldedness. And then the Holy Spirit enables us to do that. But if we have hubris and we think, well, I don't need God's help in obeying and living a godly life. I'm just going to be able to do this in my fleshly strength. The answer would be no.
Right.
I can only do this through the power of God.
Right. And it's the power of God, especially as it's expressed through his word, like Paul's preaching here, renewing our minds. That's the point he's going to come to in Romans 12, right?
Exactly.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Absolutely.
He's like, listen, you've been reckoning yourselves this way. No, reckon yourselves this other way. Then yield after that. You know, realize that you're set free. You're not a slave anymore. Stop acting like a slave to sin.
I'm really pleased with Andrew's question because it shows Andrew is really grappling with the fact that, for example, in John 3:16, that whoever believes in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not perish but has everlasting life. We have it right now. John 6:47, he who believes in me has everlasting life. So he recognizes that we have it right now, and we don't have to somehow yield, reckon and yield, in order to gain everlasting life. We do that in order to have the fullness of everlasting life that God wants for him. And so if you read a verse like, let's say, Romans 6:22, and someone tells you, oh, what this is saying is you have to pursue sanctification your whole life in order to be born again at the end, well, then you're like, no, wrong. That contradicts John 3:16. So let's rethink Romans 6:22.
I mean, it also contradicts Romans chapters 3 and 4, right?
Exactly.
So
we're justified by faith apart from works.
Right. So there's some distinctions in the Scripture that people need to be familiar with. There's a difference between eternal life and eternal rewards.
Right.
There's a difference between justification and sanctification. There's
right.
a difference between being born again and being a disciple. And if you confuse those things, you're going to make works a condition of salvation, and you're going to lose your assurance, and you're going to lose your joy, too.
Right, and I think here we have a difference between eternal life and fullness of that life. So stand fast in the Lord's teaching that he who believes in me has everlasting life, present tense. You get it the moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can stand on that, and then if any verse confuses you, we would encourage you to go to our website, faithalone.org, and check out what we have to say. Certainly pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, what does this verse mean? Meditate on it. Think about it, and we can give you some ideas at our website because we've done a lot of thinking on these passages. Thanks. We hope to see you again tomorrow.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether or not judgment in Hebrews is talking about eternal rewards. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.